Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations. Online at shrm.org.
What a big apple.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Just listen to these numbers. Revenue up 21%. Profits up 88%. Those are descriptions of Apple's first quarter earnings. For the first 3 months of the year, the company earned $770 million. That's up from $410 million a year before. Shares for Apple climbed more than 6% in after-hours trading following news of its earnings. Yesterday, the company's board also gave a vote of confidence to CEO Steve Jobs. This follows charges by a former Apple executive that Jobs may have played a role in the company's backdated stock options controversy. Speaking of big numbers, how about the Dow? Blue sky territory for blue chip stocks. The Dow broke the 13,000 mark early in the day and ended strong, up 135 points at 13,089. The Nasdaq charged ahead 23 points to 2547, and the S&P added 15 points to reach a 6.5-year closing high of 1495. Klaus Kleinfeld is the CEO of Siemens, the German electronics giant, but not for long. Kleinfeld says he's not renewing his contract with the company and will walk out the door in September. All this stems from a corruption scandal that has enveloped Siemens. More from Stephen Beard.
He's not himself actually implicated in the scandal. He's been exonerated, but it's quite clear he's come under a lot of pressure to quit from the company's supervisory board. The allegation is, and prosecutors are now investigating these allegations, that some current and former employees at Siemens paid bribes, $260 million worth, to secure business overseas. This isn't just about bribery, however. There's a separate investigation underway of dirty tricks. The allegation is that Siemens secretly funded a union to rival and undermine Siemens' main union, IG Metall.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. What's your reaction when you hear the word globalization? A new poll out this morning on worldpublicopinion.org says most people globally have a love-hate relationship with that word. Some think it's good for the economy, while others think it hurts the environment. From the sustainability desk, Sarah Gardner has more.
The results of the polling in 18 countries shows enthusiastic support for globalization. Not surprisingly, it's especially strong in exporting countries like China and South Korea. Many around the globe believe it's been good for their economies, although 42% in the U.S. disagreed with that notion. Globalization and the environment, however, was another story.
The environment was the one area where there was the most ambivalence about the impact of trade.
World Public Opinion editor Stephen Cole says the French and the Americans were the most negative about global trade's environmental effects. And even in China, a majority want minimum environmental standards included in trade agreements.
The people themselves are really looking for the international system to put pressure on their own countries.
Americans surveyed in this poll were decidedly mixed about global trade. They were most worried about the effect on U.S. jobs. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Slumping earnings has Wendy's thinking about selling the company. The nation's third largest burger chain says it's created a special committee to consider a sale, along with other options. The announcement caused the company's shares to jump more than 12% in after-hours trading.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. By Reuters, the world's news and information source, working to make a difference every day. Before it's news, it's Reuters. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
Are you ready for the draft? The NFL draft, that is. This weekend, football fans and fantasy league aficionados will glue themselves to the TV to watch which team picks which player, which hopefully translates into a Super Bowl championship. Steve Bornstein used to be the CEO of ESPN, and he called draft day the biggest non-event on sports television. Now that non-event is the second biggest program for ESPN after Monday Night Football. David Carter is executive director of the USC Sports Business Institute. Welcome.
Good morning.
There are a lot of people who are following this draft, which over the years has really become an event. When did that happen?
Yeah, it really has. It's grown organically and really pretty rapidly over the last several years. It has this cult-like following, and I think it brings with it this time of year, a little bit like spring training in baseball, the sense of renewal. People want their pigskin fix, and the draft is the first part of that. And here we are in April, and people are thinking about what's going to be happening come Labor Day when the NFL gets going.
The NFL is pretty masterful when it comes to marketing itself. How's the league stoked the interest for this?
I think they've done a few things. They've realized that this has become an event and not just a one-day exercise. And I think they've begun to throw resources, human and financial resources, at this. Leading up to this, the league's own NFL Network has aired a 50-episode miniseries, if you will, called The Path to the Draft.
Oh, my God.
And they're really able to turn it into a great storyline with numerous plots, and it seems to work really well for them. And on draft day, they have some of these players sitting in the green room waiting to get picked, and many times these players fall, and that creates great drama when they're sitting there with their heads in their hands.
Yeah, it's like the Oscars when they're watching all the nominees when the envelope is read. It's like, who's going to get in, who's not?
Well, that's right, but I think with the draft, you have these players, some of them sitting there for hours, stewing in their own juices, waiting for that pick to come up. And this year, you've got Joe Thomas, who is expected to be a top five pick, a lineman out of the University of Wisconsin, and the NFL Network, which again is charged with really promoting the league throughout the year, is actually going to be mounting a camera on his boat while he's out fishing for the day. So they really don't want to leave any stone unturned to make sure that they're getting this information out there to their rabid fans.
Beyond selecting future players, how are the teams and their sponsors involved in the draft day dementia?
Well, I think they both realize that there's a huge opportunity at hand, and they've begun facilitating draft day parties. I think this year you're going to see teams like the Giants and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers even having 5K runs before the draft. And so sponsors realize that the draft and the resources that teams and the league are putting behind it give them an opportunity, a platform to market around a 3 or 4 month period and not just a single day. So they've really marshaled their resources behind the draft as well.
Thanks a lot, David.
Thank you.
David Carter is the executive director of the USC Sports Business Institute. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.